Here's 78 on 78, News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. There is a kind of human eloquence more telling, more forcible than the loudest words, than the choicest diction. It is the suffering of some great heartbreaking sorrow with sealed lips. But how many of us have the fortitude to bear our pain in silence, or for that matter, our joy? So natural is the urge to speak. What could possibly keep anyone from doing so?
Look, my dear. How long has it been since we have seen so many happy faces?
Oh, we couldn't have asked for a finer wedding celebration for our daughter.
And yet, just now, I thought I saw something in her expression. As she spun around just now amidst the dancers, I saw a strange look in her eyes.
A look? What kind of look?
A look almost of terror.
Our mystery drama, The Silent Woman, is based on a story by Leopold Compert. It was adapted especially for the Mystery Theater by Percy Grainger and stars John Beale and Robert Dryden. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Maybe you've got a neighbor who just bought a new Electra, and he's gotten so smug and self-satisfied lately you can't stand it. Well, look at it this way. If you had just gotten a car with all the luxury and prestige of Electra and a trim European-like design that makes it easier than you might imagine to park and maneuver in city traffic, wouldn't you be a little insufferable for a while? We thought so. The new Electra at your Buick dealers now.
A little science, a little magic, a little science.
Hi, I'm Jim Backus, and I want to tell you about Lazy Boy recliner rockers. You know, Lazy Boy still makes chairs like they used to. And in recliner rockers, there is a difference. When people buy a chair, they want it to last a long time. And it will, if it's a Lazy Boy. The superior construction is one of the reasons Lazy Boy can provide a lifetime warranty on the mechanism. Yes, Lazy Boy builds chairs the best way they know how. Yes, Lazy Boy, there is a difference.
Presenting Akadama's Custom Dry California Chablis. It's so light and dry, not everyone is going to like it. Here's a random sample of opinions from people who have tasted Akadama Custom Dry Chablis.
This is a very dry wine. Sorry.
I love it. Maybe, I don't know. No.
Too dry. This is dry.
As you can see, most people, but not everyone, likes the taste of Akadama Chablis. You see, if you set out to make a wine for the average person, you might just end up with an average wine. So we took a risk and made America a custom dry wine. And the results are in.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Akadama Custom Dry California Chablis. It's dry, and we think you'll love it. But you might not.
Yeah.
No.
Custom Dry Chablis, Burgundy and Rosé, from Akadama Vintners, Elk Grove, California.
Laughing at fools is one of the oldest diversions of mankind. We are pleased to consider ourselves superior to such people. But there is another tradition regarding the fool, that he is really the wisest of men whose only failing is that he cannot dissemble. I personally prefer this tradition, for the following story is told us by a fool, and it would be a shame to think it weren't true. The time is the last century. We're in a small town in Central Europe, in a cemetery.
She was a woman of exceeding virtue, the most loyal of wives, and the best of mothers.
She was.
She was.
Come, sister, be silent. Please relent. Now that my wife is gone, can't you soften your heart? One mustn't speak unkindly of the dead.
Then I cannot speak at all.
My name is Leib. They call me Na, the fool. When I was young, it bothered me, but now, well, how many people of my poor background can boast of a title? But it is not my story I want to tell you. Today, my master, the Rabbi Mendel, has buried a most remarkable woman, about whom, as you've just heard, opinion was sharply divided. Her name was Vela, and she was married to our wealthiest merchant, a kindly man named Franz Jomar. Vela was very beautiful, but somewhat silly and frivolous, and many people predicted much trouble in her marriage. But something happened, for her marriage appeared to be a success, except in one very, very strange particular. In the 27 years it lasted, she was never once heard to utter a single word.
Vela, are you awake? It's Bezel, your sister-in-law. Look! Look what I have in my arms. Your child. It's a girl. The doctor says she is healthy and strong. Look how active she is already and barely 2 hours old. Look! She's holding out her arms for you. She recognizes you. Vela. Vela, will you not speak to her?
But though tears of joy came to Vela's eyes as she cradled the child to her breast, she did not speak. Nor was her silence broken at the birth of her son some years later. But the most severe time in all her marriage came on the eve of her daughter's wedding. A great plague was sweeping the countryside.
Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead!
Vela! Vela! It's Franz! I'm home!
Oh, brother! Brother, I'm so glad you're back.
Yes, not a moment too soon. I was terrified that my business in Prague would have forced a delay and my daughter due to be married this very evening. Where's Vela?
Oh.
Vela, what's the matter? You're crying.
Oh, it's too awful.
Where is everyone? Where are the guests, the musicians? They should be arriving.
There's not to be any wedding.
Has something happened to the groom? Has the plague taken hold of him?
No.
Well, then what is it?
Your daughter.
Oh, no.
The plague has got her in its grip. She's not expected to live.
Is she in her room?
Yes. Vela is with her.
Vela? Vela, tell me. Our child. Look at me, Vela. Our child is dead.
Vela's cry of anguish echoed in her husband's ears. But though she wept as they bore her daughter's body away, not a word of complaint passed her lips. Thus did she bear all, joy and sorrow, in deep silence for 27 years. And for 27 of those years, an argument has raged between Franz and his old maid sister, Bettel.
I tell you, it's nothing but willful malice on her part.
No, sure you're wrong. Bettel, are you jealous?
Not in the least. Vela used to boast how she would break hearts. But I never thought it would be my own brother she'd make so miserable.
But, Bettel, I'm not miserable. The only thing that makes me unhappy are these arguments.
Do you want me to leave your house, then? You'd expel your own sister?
No, no, only please keep your voice down. It hurts Vela deeply to know that you disapprove of her so.
Then why will she not speak?
I don't know. I know she wants to. Sometimes I can see her lips move, almost forming the words. It must be some physical deformity.
Nonsense. She was the picture of health until the very day of her wedding. And she can utter every sound except those of speech. What deformity could be so selective?
Well, there are those who say that she's been bewitched.
You are a prosperous merchant. You are my brother. How can you believe such superstition?
If it is not a physical deformity, then what could possibly prevent her from speaking, if not a supernatural force? Some of our most trusted friends, people who were at the wedding, who danced with her, say that they noticed something odd.
Why did no one speak up at the time?
They swear that there must have been an evil eye on her, one jealous of her beauty. Is this not possible?
I'm sure I don't know. She's mocking your weakness to your face. If I were you, I'd give her a good hiding.
No, I could never do a thing like that. What has happened is God's will. It is a mystery not given us to know. I am certain her power of speech is in some way paralyzed. And I can't live any other way but to have faith that it will someday be restored.
It was certainly doubtful whether Franz's faith was going to be rewarded. The years fled by. Their son grew into a handsome fellow and quite a scholar to boot. The time came for him to go study with a first-rate teacher in Hungary. Years he would be gone before he would see his parents again. Yet though her eyes were full of sorrow and pride, Vela let him go from her embrace without a word of blessing. Then, only a few weeks ago, Vela was taken ill. And yesterday, as I was walking down the street past their house, a servant girl ran up to me and begged me to go at once to Franz Jomar's office.
Who is it?
It is I, your worship.
Leibnar, what are you doing here?
You must come with me at once. Your wife's illness has taken a turn for the worse.
How bad is it?
The doctor has left, and the rabbi has been sent for.
Vela. Vela, it's me, Franz. Oh, how tired you look, my dear. You're ready for sleep, aren't you? I can see in your eyes that you are. Vela, can you not now speak to me? Is there no prayer, no miracle that can loosen your tongue and free you from whatever curse has possessed you all these years? I know I'm not the best of men, but if God would only grant me this one wish, there's so little time left.
Brother, is she still alive?
Yes.
The rabbi is on his way. He wants very much to see her. He says he must see her before she dies.
Hush, Bethel, don't speak of death so openly. Because she cannot speak, do you think she has no ears?
Her cheek is burning.
Vela, if I could only hear your voice once more. I've never doubted you, never reproached you.
Franz, be quiet. You're exciting her too much. Rabbi Mendel says he must see her.
Look, her lips are moving.
She wants water.
No, she wants to speak. I can see the words forming.
Let her save her strength.
She's struggling. She's wrestling with the very devil. Vela. Vela, I have loved you so much all these years.
Oh, God, living God, shall I not now speak?
Praises to God.
She's fainted.
Vela.
It's no use. She's dead.
She spoke. It was a miracle.
I'm sure it was no miracle. This only proves she could have spoken any time she wished.
Rabbi Mendel was very upset that he did not reach Vela's bedside before she died. Oh, a was he upset. The night after the funeral, however, he was still brooding. And when I brought in his meat for supper, he was still staring at his soup. What do you see in that bowl that's so fascinating, Rabbi?
I see a fool, Abe.
Well, your secret is safe with me. After all, one of us has to pretend to be a rabbi. Otherwise, how could we afford to live in so grand a style?
What grand style?
Why use a perfectly good bowl of soup for a looking glass when any rain puddle would do just as well?
Hi, Lave. Between us, we make one passable human being. I shouldn't waste time brooding. But if only I had hurried faster.
They say she spoke anyway.
A single sentence.
I don't think that mattered to poor Mr. Franz. I saw his eyes when he came from her room. I've never seen such happiness in the midst of such sorrow.
27 years. I've never seen anything like it.
You remember the night of her wedding?
Oh, yes, I remember. I remember everything. See who that is, huh?
Leib?
Oh, good evening, Mr. Franz and Miss Bettel.
Good evening, Leib.
Is the rabbi here?
I don't know. Let me ask.
Of course I'm here. Why do you have to ask?
A moment ago, you were in the past.
Just shut the door.
Forgive us for disturbing your evening meal, Rabbi, but we must have judgment.
Judgment?
Yes, there hasn't been peace between my sister and myself for 27 years. And now that Vale is dead, it will be worse than ever.
I'd be willing to drop the whole matter if Franz didn't insist on referring to Vale's last words as a miracle.
But that's what they were. A miracle. Is this not so, Rabbi?
She was the ultimate shrew.
My old friends, you are both wrong.
What?
The miracle is not that she broke her silence with her last breath, but that for 27 years, she did not speak.
We know things are often not as they seem. How dull life would be if they were, and how little we would know of human nature. For so much of what most deeply motivates us is hidden far beneath the surface world of appearances. We shall begin to see beneath the surface of Vela's world when I return with Act Two.
It takes more than good paint to get a good-looking paint job. Hi, Pat Summerall to suggest you go to your True Value Hardware store and see their selection of paint accessories that can help you get a professional-looking result for a fraction of professional cost. One of their handiest painting accessories is the TruTest 8-piece roller painting kit for just $3.99. It includes almost everything you need for your next painting job. You get a 9-inch roller cover, frame, roller extension, paint tray, 1.5-inch trim brush, and more, all for just $3.99. True Value Hardware stores also offer a complete selection of quality TruTest Orel paintbrushes. Choose from their selection of varnish enamel brushes, wall brushes, angular sash brushes, in a variety of sizes from just $1.98. Get the TruTest 8-piece roller painting kit and quality TruTest Orel paintbrushes exclusively at participating True Value Hardware stores and home centers. And remember True Value, much more than just a name, our way of doing business.
Look, look, look to the rainbow. Canfield's rainbow of flavor and fun. Reach, reach, reach for the flavor. Bubbly, fresh flavor that's your number one.
What could be more exciting about a cola than Super Cola flavor? Even more flavor. Because only Canfield's cola has a touch of real citrus to bring out more taste. And pure, natural cinnamon to give more snap.
Come, come, come.
Cola with soda fountain freshness. Because only Canfield's uses the purest water possible and carbonation that lasts as long as your thirst. So why reach for number one? Come taste Canfield's. It's a lot more fun.
Reach, reach, reach for the flavor. Bubbly, fresh flavor that's your number one. Come, come, come taste the rainbow. Canfield's rainbow of flavor.
When a carefree and irresponsible young girl married a timid, serious young man, idle tongues got ready to wag. Then literally overnight, she was transformed into a sedate, mature woman, an excellent wife and mother, in all respects, save that she would not or could not speak. Through grief and joy, only her eyes told the story of what her heart was feeling. And now that that heart beats no longer, the mystery surrounding her looms larger than ever.
Rabbi, you say it was a miracle that she did not speak?
Bela was a worthy among worthies, a saint.
What? Oh, but this is disgraceful. She was doing it deliberately.
You asked me to render judgment. It has been rendered. Now, if you will let me get back to my meal, Leib will show you to the door. Good evening.
A thousand thanks, Rabbi. Come, Bethel.
No. This judgment makes you happy, of course, Franz. It vindicates your simple faith. And it makes me look like a fool.
Good, madam, please, let the rabbi eat. If he does not eat, he will be in a bad humor. And if he's in a bad humor, he will expect me to get him out of it, and I'm very tired.
Leib is right, sister. It is late.
I will not hear a woman praised who sat by in silence at times when most mothers could not have found words enough to express their feelings.
Well, then perhaps she was the wise one for not even trying. Now, please, good night. But one does not solve a problem by shutting a door in its face any more than one converts a person by silencing him. It took them a whole 24 hours, but the very next night, they were back.
Rabbi Mendel?
Franz, good evening. Is Bethel with you?
Good evening, Rabbi.
We're sorry to trouble you again, but remember that judgment you rendered last night?
I want proof that your judgment is sound, Rabbi. You say Vela was a worthy among worthies. But what do you know of this matter that you can render such a verdict?
Well, what I know is perhaps better left unsaid.
Uh-huh. I do not like the sound of that.
Rabbi, I'm afraid you must tell us. For you have now undone the effect of your judgment altogether.
Very well, my friends. Sit down. I must begin by asking you to recall that night, the night of the wedding.
I can still recall Mr. and Mrs. Clatterner. Oh, what generous, warm-hearted people they were.
We must remember everything just as it happened.
As they talked, the scene became more and more vivid, until it seemed as if we were all transported back to that strange occasion. Oh, yes, I was invited, too. There's an old custom that on all festive occasions, someone should be present as a reminder of life's darker side, lest people in their reveling forget the sorrows of this world. A good custom, so they hire a fool. You figure it out.
Zelda, this is a splendid occasion, is it not?
It is a wonderful party for our daughter's wedding. Still, it does seem odd to me.
What?
Her decision to get married. To have settled on Franz Jomhar, of all people.
What's wrong with Franz? He's a fine boy.
Yes, but I thought Vela always found him rather dull.
Aren't you pleased with the match?
Oh, yes, of course.
He comes from a good family and will go far.
Shh. Franz is coming this way.
Franz, stop dancing so soon.
Oh, I'm not used to such exercise. And I think I've had a little too much to drink.
Well, then you shall have some more.
Oh, no, really.
Franz, Vela is a lively girl. You're going to have to learn to enjoy yourself more. I'll fetch another bottle if you two will excuse me.
Mrs. Clatterner, could I speak to you in confidence?
Yes, Franz. What is it?
I think it's time that Vela was, well...
Oh, taken downstairs to the bridal chambers?
Yes, but not for the reasons you think. I mean, not only that, but...
What's the matter?
When we danced a moment ago, her hand was burning, and her cheek was very hot.
Oh, surely you understand that, Franz.
No, this was different. She seemed, well,
agitated.
Well, it is getting late. Perhaps her girlfriend should be prodded.
Well, there's something else, too.
Yes?
Forgive me, but why did Vela marry me?
Well, you'll have to ask her.
I couldn't. I'd feel like a complete idiot.
Is something the matter?
Oh, no. I love Vela more than... There, you see, that's it. I can't even find the right words to express what I feel. Now, I guess what I'm trying to ask, Mrs. Glattner, is... Did you influence Vela?
What?
Did you persuade her to accept me because... Well, because my family is wealthy?
No. No, her choice settled on you of her own free will. And believe me, Vela has never in her life done anything contrary to the dictates of her heart.
Franz, here we go, a fresh bottle.
Oh. If you'll excuse me, I must see if the bridal chamber is ready. It's high time Vela was smuggled off. Franz?
Yes, Mrs. Gladner?
I have it on very good authority that all is prepared. But I advise you to slip down the back stairs. Some of the young men have planned some trickery if you go by the main stairway.
Oh, thanks. Excuse me, Mrs. Gladner. Good night.
The boy's as nervous as a new clerk.
He should be. The young men are waiting for him on the back stairs.
Zelda.
Well, one has to keep one's priorities straight. I couldn't spoil their fun just to save Franz a good ducking.
No!
Oh, that's painful. Reminds me of our wedding night. The water they dumped on me was straight from the river. Ice cold.
What was that?
She's gone. She's gone.
What?
Vela's gone. She's vanished.
My boy, slow down. Catch your breath. Now, what do you mean?
Vela's not in the bridal chamber.
But how can this be? I saw the girls take her in there not 5 minutes ago.
Well, maybe it's another prank. If it is, it's carrying things a bit too far.
Well, I'll speak to the girl.
That's not a trick. I'm sure of it.
Now, calm yourself.
Oh, she's run away from me.
No.
Well, maybe. Well, what if some evil spirit's gotten a hold of her?
Nonsense.
Well, it happens, you know. They say especially on wedding nights, and especially young girls who are as good-looking as Vela is. These spirits are driven mad with jealousy. They carry their victims off, sometimes never to be seen again. Or if they do return them, it's with some horrible curse laid upon them.
My boy, stop this talk.
All of the girls swear they are innocent. If this is a prank, it's Vela's alone.
Did they notice anything strange in her behavior when they took her into the bridal chamber?
Well, she was nervous, of course, but that's to be expected, is it not? Mm-hmm. Oh, Reuben, we must find Vela at once. Mm-hmm. Word has spread of her disappearance. The guests are becoming frightened. They know the legend.
Nothing but stories. Oh. Now come. We'll search the house at once and the garden. And if she's not here, we'll go with torches and search the whole city.
Oh, what shall I do?
Question the servants. Find out if they saw or heard anything amiss. Come, Franz.
Mrs. Zelda?
Oh, Leibniz, I didn't hear you approach.
Your daughter has gone.
Yes.
I was watching her.
Oh, where did she go?
Yeah, I meant earlier, during the dancing.
Oh, you really are a fool. Everyone was watching her then.
But I watched differently than others. Her movements were not those of one who is enjoying herself. They were desperate, frenzied, and she looked no one in the eye.
Not even Franz?
Least of all him.
Do you think she may have done herself harm? Do you think she's gone to the river?
I didn't know where Vela had gone or why or whether she would ever come back for that matter. I left the house as puzzled as anyone. But unlike the others, I was not frightened. Whatever was going to happen was going to happen. In this world of uncertainty, I have always been certain of that.
Yes, Rabbi, I remember. We searched the entire house and the garden, and there was no trace of her. Then we took torches and scoured the city.
And when you returned to Reuben Klotterman's house?
She was there, sitting with her mother in the kitchen,
As calm as could be. How remarkable.
What is?
You asked us to remember everything, and I remember something now that I'd forgotten. When we came into the kitchen, our burnt-out torches in our hands, Vela looked up, and she looked directly at me, into my eyes. Labe was right. She had avoided everyone's gaze, and most of all, mine. But now she looked at me, and I at her. And I remember a chill ran through my body. I thought, surely this woman is bewitched. But now I think we were laying eyes on each other for the first time.
Yes, my son. And what it was that happened that night, I am now free to tell you.
Franz and Bettel came to the rabbi's house with an argument they wished him to settle. It was a question they thought had only two sides, and one of them, they assumed, had to be right. But is this always the case? I'm reminded of a riddle. Two girls walked into the classroom on the first day of school. They were identical in appearance. They had the same last name and the same parents. Yet when the teacher asked them the obvious, were they twins, they said no. How is this possible? I'll give you the answer and the rest of our story when I return with Act 3.
Why are so many people buying Buick's New Century? Well, it depends on who you ask. Mrs. Marcia Resnick?
It holds the road, and it drives really smooth. It's nice.
And Mrs. Phil Jackson?
I like it because it's roomy.
And Mr. Jackson, he can't even begin to tell you all the reasons why he likes their new Buick Century.
I really wouldn't know where to start.
But then that says a lot about Buick's New Century and why it's drawing a crowd at your Buick dealers. A little magic, a little
science, a little... I'm chewing gum again. Big deal? It is to me. I had to give up gum because it stuck to my dental work. But with Free Dent Gum from Wrigley's, I can enjoy chewing gum again. It doesn't stick. Fact is, until I found Free Dent, I'd forgotten how fresh and clean my mouth and breath could feel anytime. Free Dent in peppermint and spearmint. You'll like it.
Feel free to chew Free Dent.
It won't stick to most dental work.
Free Dent Gum.
Mysteries are fun, but not when you're buying a new car. Bell Auto Imports at 25th and Michigan takes the mystery out of car prices. Bell comes flat out with an offer of just $200 over cost on brand new 77 Fiats. That means you can get a great new Fiat 131 station wagon with full top hinge tailgate for easy access for only $47.17. You can get a new Fiat 131 four-door sedan with automatic for only $42.61. Nothing drives like a Fiat, and Bell Auto delivers them all. The 128 sedans, the 131s, the 124 Spider, and bold, sporty new X19. With four giant floors devoted to service and parts, Bell can give you same-day service on your new Fiat. Remember, $200 over cost on brand new Fiats now. Only at Bell Auto Imports. Easy to reach just off the Stevenson Expressway and the Outer Drive at 2500 South Michigan Avenue. Free parking inside. Open daily until 7, Saturday until 5, closed on Sunday. This is WBBM Chicago.
Two girls, identical in looks, both with the same parents, yet they are not twins. What are they? Triplets. The third sister was home in bed, sick. This riddle should serve as a reminder that there are often three sides to every issue. Your side, my side, and the truth. And it is the truth we shall soon learn as we rejoin our story.
I always figured the rabbi somehow knew more than the rest of us. Whenever Vela's name was mentioned, a certain look would come into his eye, a look of sorrow and tremendous respect. Then, too, I remember one particularly odd incident. It happened right after the plague had carried off their daughter. Franz and Vela were in formal mourning, and I accompanied the rabbi to their house. He went, so I assumed, to offer consolation to them both. But strangely, he spoke only to Franz. Vela deliberately kept her gaze averted. And only as we were leaving did she lift her eyes. For a brief moment, their looks met, and then departed without a word.
When your bride left her parents' house on her wedding night, it was to my cottage that she came.
She came here, Rabbi?
It was I who heard her last words. It was to be one of the most difficult hours of my life. It was late, as you recall, but I was still at my desk, deep in study.
Please, please, please open the door. Rabbi, Rabbi, you must let me in. I see your light. You are home. Please, I must speak to you.
Who is there?
It is I, Reuben Klatner's daughter.
What do you want so late at night?
Please, you must let me in or I shall die at once.
Well, yes, yes, by all means.
Oh, thank you.
Please, you must try to calm yourself.
There can be no peace for me.
I must ask you again who you are and what you want. It is very late.
Do you not recognize me?
Hmm? No, I don't think I do.
Then I am indeed a lost soul.
Are you from this community? You see, I am new here. I still don't know everyone as I ought to know.
I am the woman you married not 5 hours ago to a husband.
Ah, yes, your voice. Yes, it does sound familiar. Reuben Klatner's daughter, you say?
Yes.
Oh, no, but this cannot be. I'm being visited by an apparition.
Why do you say that?
If you are truly she whom you say, why are you here and not with... well, in the place where you belong?
I know of no other place where I belong more than the one where I am now.
The place you belong, my daughter, is in the house of your parents. And since you have today been made a wife, your place is with your husband.
What is a wife? And who am I?
Forgive me, but that is a good question. What is it you wish of me?
I have a great sin that rests heavily on my heart, and I don't know what to do.
Well, what you have done can be discussed at another time.
No, no. I know what oppresses me. It lies so near before me, I can grasp it by the hand.
Very well. You have come here to confess a great sin. Do your parents or your husband know anything about this?
Who is my husband?
What?
I am in love with a man, but not the one you married me to today.
Shh. Hush. You cannot speak of this now.
I must.
You are married.
His name is Naphtali. He is a scholar, a student of the yeshiva.
I see. And he is perhaps poor?
Very poor.
Ah, unfortunate, Vela. I think I begin to understand. But did you not speak of this to your parents?
No.
You owed them the opportunity to approve of your heart's true choice.
I did not think they would.
You didn't?
No.
Huh. Vela, I'm going to ask you a question. If it is not answered honestly, you will have to leave.
I will answer.
Were you forced to be married?
No. I was not forced to be married. My parents never once said, "You must." It is my own desire that I am what I am.
But this other young man, Naphtali, was he for some reason displeasing to your parents?
They did not know him.
But you claimed just now you loved him.
I must be incapable of love. I married Franz Jomar because he is the rich son of a rich man. To enter his family is to become the first lady of the community, to sit buried in gold and silver. That is what infatuated me. That is why I forced myself to marry him. The gold and silver have an influence over me. More and more they cry to me, "You will be the first lady in the community." And the more Franz loves me, the more I detest him.
It is not Franz you detest, but yourself.
That is true. He is a kind man. I have deceived him. I was never a liar before now. And today, when I stood under the wedding canopy and he took the ring from his finger and he put it on mine. And when I danced with him and they led me away.
When you first entered my house, I thought this must be a mad woman. But only a soul conscious of its own sin could speak as you do now.
Tell me what I am to do.
What to do?
Tell me. Do you think I have come from my parents' home merely to return again without help? You alone in all the world must tell me. Look at me. I am no wife. I will not be a wife. Tell me what I am to do.
Please, Vela, stand up.
Tell me first. I will not rise till then.
Dear Lord, who could that be?
Master.
Leib, that fool of a sexton they've given me. Vela. Vela, can you hear me?
Yes.
It would be best if no one knows that you have come here. Will you rise and go into the next room until...
I will not move.
Master!
All right. Vela, I'll put this screen in front of you, but please try to make no noise until I have dispatched this fellow. I'm coming.
Master, 1,000 pardons, but I'm afraid I had one glass of wine too many.
It's all right.
And it caught up with me just as I was trying to find my latch key.
Enough, Leib.
Yes, Rabbi. Despite my condition, you see before you a man ready and willing to carry out the evening chores.
Yeah, well, it won't be necessary tonight.
No. Let me make amends for my condition.
Well, never mind.
Please,
no.
Master.
No.
You don't want me to draw water from the well?
No.
Nor bring in more wood for the fire?
No.
It's burning low.
No. I mean, yes, I know, but no.
That screen is out of place.
Leave it there.
It's blocking the fire from warming you at your desk.
But as you pointed out, the fire is burning low anyway, so what's the difference?
Keep this up and you too may someday be a fool.
Leib, go to bed. I want to be left alone.
But you are not alone.
What?
I can see your thoughts are with you.
Go to bed.
You know, Master, a most remarkable thing has happened. The bride you married today has been carried off by spirits.
That's nonsense.
I know. They're searching for her everywhere. If they were smart, they would just come to you.
Huh? But why me?
Because I'll bet you know where she is.
Why do you say that?
You're the rabbi. The rabbi knows everything. In fact, it's your fault I'm a fool.
What do you mean?
That's what I was always told as a child. The rabbi knows everything. That's why I never bothered to learn anything. I figured as long as someone knows it, what's to worry? So, don't disappoint me, Rabbi. I'd hate to have been a fool for nothing.
Vela, he's gone.
Yes.
Now listen to me now. I will talk with you.
I am listening.
But will you do what I advise you? For I am going to say something that will terrify you.
I will do anything you say.
Will you swear?
Yes.
No. Don't swear yet. Not till you've heard me. I don't want to force you. Hear me then, daughter of Reuben Klatener. You have a twofold sin upon your soul. First, you permitted yourself to be infatuated by gold and silver, for which you forced your heart to lie. With this lie, you have sought to deceive a person who has entrusted you with his all when he exchanged vows with you today.
I know.
But you have committed an even greater sin than this, for you have also destroyed the happiness of another person. What can he do now when he knows what has been lost to him?
Naphtali!
Silence! You must must never let his name pass your lips again. Why did you not speak when you could have spoken? God can never easily forgive that. To be silent, to keep secret in your breast what would have made him whom you loved happier than the mightiest monarch.
Say no more.
Hear now what your penance must be. You were silent when you should have spoken. Be silent now forever to all people and to yourself. From the moment you leave this house until I grant it, you must be dumb. You dare not let a word pass from your mouth. Now, will you undergo this penance?
I will.
Do you have the strength to do it?
I shall be silent as death.
Now, you must go.
May I say one last word?
Yes. Yes, Vela. Speak.
Naphtali!
When the rabbi finished his story, everyone sat for a very long moment in silence.
So, there it is. You see now why I rendered the judgment I did. Under the duress of her penance, I watched Vela blossom into a woman who was not only beautiful, but of wonderful character as well.
So she was in love with another man?
Oh, come, Bettel, that was a long time ago. We had a good life together, and I truly think that in time she came to love me.
But, Franz, can you say you were completely happy?
No. Can you? Must one have everything? I had doubts about our marriage, too. But at least I can say it turned out better than I expected. And if we could only say that much about everything, what nice lives we should all have.
What nice lives indeed. It is said we speak more with our eyes and our gestures than with our tongues. Often we speak too quickly and without thought, or we say what is expected and not what is true. How much wiser we might all be if every time before we spoke, we had to chew a piece of toffee. But what about Vela's life? Wasn't her punishment too severe? A final word on that in a moment.
I like pickles, but they don't like me.
Send your stomach some Digel.
I like pizza, but it doesn't like me.
Send your stomach some Digel.
Digel's special combination of antacid and anti-gas ingredients gives you fast, gentle relief from acid indigestion, heartburn, and gas in just minutes.
I like hot dogs, but they don't like me.
For occasional use, only as directed.
Orson Welles, for Fedders Air Conditioning. As an actor, I used to perform in smelly, roasting, airless little rooms where no applause could compensate for my dripping, wet discomfort. So thank heaven for those big Fedders room air conditioners we have now, with many thousands of BTUs to cool room areas up to 1,400 square feet, with proper circulation, of course. Fedders, powered by our famous rotary compressor. A quiet, durable Fedders. One of the great creature comforts.
My old stain.
For months, I lived with that plate of spaghetti on my carpet.
Introducing Blue Luster Plus, the liquid carpet shampoo with degreasers that get to the bottom of your old oily soil and stains, plus brighteners to revive colors. Rent a Blue Luster shampoo or at your hardware store. Use it with Blue Luster Plus, and you'll be minus those old stains.
And nothing remains of my old stains.
In our country, there is still a lack of understanding about mental illness. The stigma, the shame some people feel, holds back progress in the mental health field. Someone you know probably needs help right now. Let's open the closet doors to mental illness. Let's help each other. This is Rosalind Carter. Won't you join me in creating a new national philosophy about mental illness? I'm a member of the Mental Health Association. Join your local mental health association, too.
Was Vela's punishment too harsh? Well, the story was meant as a parable, and it was written 100 years ago when the marriage tie was far more strict than it is today. All in all, I think I'd have to say that Vela was a remarkably strong and self-possessed woman who endured. Our cast included John Beale, Norman Rose, Carol Tytel, Joan Shea, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Baseball hero leads his team to victory. But behind every baseball hero, there's a whole team of unsung heroes. Steady, dependable guys who play ball year in and year out, but never get to be baseball superstars. This is Bob Elson for Northwest Federal Savings, and I'd like to pay tribute to some of Chicago baseball's unsung heroes. I picked 20 from past Cub and Sox team. And if you can guess who they are, you could win 2 tickets to a Chicago game. Who was the hustling Sox outfielder nicknamed No Neck, who is best remembered for his aggressive play? Or the versatile, smooth-fielding infielder for the Cubs, who backed up Beckert, Kessinger, and Santo? Look for the contest in the sports pages of your newspaper, or pick up a copy at any Northwest Federal Savings Center.
It's Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
CBS News. China has launched a sharp attack on Cuba, charging the Russians have too much influence on the Castro government. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The remarks were similar in tone to those of President Carter last week, the president saying the Cubans were surrogates of the Russians. China got into the act via an article in the Peking People's Daily. Barry Kelb reports from Hong Kong.
The Chinese commentary asserted that Cuba is too closely tied to Moscow economically, militarily, and ideologically to remain a member of the non-aligned movement. In fact, said the Peking People's Daily, there is not an iota of non-alignment left in Cuba. Indirectly attacking Peking's favorite target, the Soviet Union, the commentary said Cuba's economy and military both depend on Moscow. It alleged that Cuba's military institutions are under Soviet control and said that acting as a Soviet agent, Cuba is guilty of undisguised subversion and aggression in Africa. This attack could turn out to be more than just a harsh editorial. Chinese officials and diplomats are undoubtedly taking the same line in their numerous contacts with third world countries. And given Peking's influence in the third world, Cuba's standing among the non-aligned nations could conceivably be affected. Barry Kalb, CBS News, Hong Kong.
The Russians have been spying on the American embassy in Moscow again. That, according to the State Department, U.S. officials say electronic devices of an intelligence-gathering nature were found in the embassy last week. A protest was filed with the Soviet Foreign Ministry. One U.S. official, who refused to be named, said this represents a fairly serious penetration of our embassy. More news in a moment.
If you're an investor looking for high-interest income, you usually have to take some high risks along with it. Because if you want a low risk, you usually have to settle for low yield as well. But Dean Witter Reynolds can help you change all that by helping you get high yields with low risk. How can Dean Witter Reynolds do it? We'd like to suggest 3 different ways. 1, Ginnie Mae's.
Ginnie Mae's?
Government National Mortgage Association issues that can yield up to 8.5% and guaranteed by the U.S. government. 2. High-quality corporate preferred stocks, giving you 8% and more and backed by the resources of major U.S. corporations. 3. Municipal bonds with tax-free yields that may be equivalent to up to 10 or 12% interest.
10 or 12%?
Depending on your tax bracket. If you're looking for high returns with low risk, call or stop in at any of the 220 offices of Dean Witter Reynolds.
Senator James Allen of Alabama died Thursday night after suffering a heart attack. The conservative Democrat was 65 years old. Allen was stricken while vacationing at Gulf Shores, Alabama. He was rushed to South Baldwin Hospital in Foley, Alabama, where Administrator Sandy McHill had this information.
The nurse said he was breathing and alive when he was brought to the emergency room, and they worked on him for approximately 30 to 40 minutes. His wife was with him and several other people.
Funeral services for Allen are tentatively planned for Tuesday in his hometown, Gadsden, Alabama. Governor George Wallace of Alabama called Allen's death a great loss. He will appoint an interim senator to serve until the November election. The House has approved and sent to the Senate a controversial bill for educational tax breaks. College tuition tax credits up to $250 a year would be granted, a move supporters say would provide overdue relief to middle-income families trying to cope with rising college costs. The House also voted to allow a $100 tax credit for private and church school pupils. HEW Secretary Califano said the move is unconstitutional, and he predicted the courts would overturn such a provision if it is enacted into law. Ranking House Republicans held a joint news conference Thursday to criticize Carter administration economic policies. House GOP leader John Rhodes of Arizona said the anti-inflation program is either misguided or a hoax, saying government spending has been going up about 11% a year. The congressman released a paper saying Democratic efforts to reduce the deficit are not based on spending cuts, but rather on tax increases. Now this.
Sport is booming.
More people are watching and playing sports in every season, indoors and outdoors, men and women and youngsters. Sports are bringing families together to watch and to participate. And the magazine that naturally attracts these sports-loving people is Sports Illustrated. It's the nation's number one sports magazine, and it puts its readers where they want to be, in the world of sports, every issue, week after week. In Sports Illustrated, they get the people, the sports, and the teams they're pulling for. All the excitement and color from the nation's best writers and photographers. For 16 million readers, Sports Illustrated is the authority. It is sports in print.
Sport is blooming, blooming. Sport is.
Sports Illustrated. We are sports in print.
Booming, yeah!
Mrs. Mary Ann Hoffman tried hard to make her point, which she did, but not to as many people as could have heard the message. Mrs. Hoffman is a grandmother who spent $6,000 out of her own pocket to rent the Felt Forum at New York's Madison Square Garden for a rally against crime. The arena was set up to seat 4,500 people. Only 500 showed up. Mrs. Hoffman said she was not disappointed by the turnout. She said her rally was for victimized people, regular citizens, people tired of living in fear. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Here's 78 on 78, News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Good evening, everyone. It's 11:33, and this is Alan Bickley on WBBM, News Radio 78 in Chicago.